We should have handed out those glow sticks, you know, when you walked in the auditorium tonight. Do you know what I mean? Okay, I didn't know if you knew what I meant or not. Yep, I remember that song. Let me tell you a little secret. That song is not the song that you want to take the advice of. You don't want to carry on wayward, because there won't be peace when you're done. And, you know, it's really interesting. Kerry Lifgren was in the band Kansas. I'm pretty sure that he wrote that song and wrote Dust in the Wind. Shortly after that, he came to Christ. It's really interesting to see the process of what he was going through just before that happened. The kind of, I guess, thought process that was going on in his life. But Christ changed his life, and for many, many years, I don't know if he's still doing this, but he would travel around the country playing and sharing what Christ did in his life. Well, we're doing this series, Don't Get Punked. And I wanted to tell you a story tonight, a true story. I know it'll be a little hard to believe, but just to give you an illustration of how a person can get completely punked. And what I mean by being punked is this. I mean that just when you think everything has been going great, you find out that you got a bad deal and you're stuck with the consequences. And that's what we mean by getting punked. Now, our society uses it as kind of a joke, and there, Ashton Kutcher had a TV series called Punked, and Bo Rat makes a lot of money doing it, well, Sasha Cohen is his real name. But as I illustrated to you last week, the consequences in life are very real. And everything in life, apart from God, is a lie. It's a joke. It's like a misdirection. Whether it's credit card companies, whether it's debt. I was reading an article the other day about, I just can't believe that someone finally wrote an article about this. One of the things that I do and have done through the years is deal with college students. So this article was in, I think it was the Wall Street Journal, and was talking about college loans. And the premise of the article was that the first question that parents ought to ask is, are we going to get a value for the money that's invested? In other words, most parents simply let the kid choose wherever they want to go. They work like crazy to come up with loans to get the money, but they don't sit down and do a cost to investment to payoff analysis. They don't ask themselves, after we pay $45,000 for college, or in some cases, $30,000 a year for 4 years, the kid will only make $32,000 in the field they chose to study. And I see this happen all the time. And it was really interesting, this article was saying that the vast majority of parents that came in for credit counseling, not one of them asked that question. I was in a auto shop one morning. I was getting my car worked on, and there was this woman who also came in, and we were the only two ones sitting in the waiting room, and so I don't even know how this conversation got started. But we got into kids, and she had one that was in high school, and I said I had some as well, and not really. Mine were high school age, but they were going to college, and she said, college? So I said, yeah, you know, Minnesota has this tremendous program that if you take your last years of high school at college, the state will pay for it. She said, really? I didn't know that. She said, well, you know, I wouldn't have really wanted that because I wouldn't want my child to miss out on the experience of high school. And I said, really? Like, what wouldn't you want her to miss out on? Well, she thought a minute. She said, well, I don't know, just the whole thing. I said, well, you know, you realize that it puts about $16,000 at the state school at the time is about $8,000 a year in your pocket. She goes, well, I don't really care. You know, I think you need that experience. And then, you know, we'll just send our daughter wherever she wants to go. People, they just don't think. And so what's happening now with college students is they're coming out with massive debt. And then a few years later, they get married and they bring this massive debt into the marriage. And they often don't make nearly enough money to repay the debt for years and years and years and years. And so they're starting out their life already way behind the eight ball. And now these idiot presidents on college campuses have allowed Visa and MasterCard to come on and give you all this free stuff and give college students that don't even have jobs credit cards. And now they're $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $8,000 in debt, and the rate of depression is rising on the college campus, and a number of students are just absolutely overloaded when they get bill after bill after bill coming to their dorm floor. That's called getting punked. A few years ago, well, actually it was more than a few years ago, it was probably 8 years ago, there was a young person that I knew that really wanted to get married. And they were coming to one of the churches that I was involved with here in the city, and they were growing and they were learning stuff, and they were actually doing well in so many things. They really, really wanted to get married. So unbeknownst to me, they met some guy online in New York City. And this gal and this guy, they start writing back and forth, and she talks about Christ, he talks about Christ, and this went on for a number of months, and finally I heard through the grapevine that she was going to move out there for a while and get to know this guy, and the friends of this person that were involved in the church sat her down. She had a couple very close girlfriends and said, "Listen, there's something real strange about this. I think you should, I wouldn't go out there." And there, I'm not going to give you all the details, but there were some real strong signals that this was not a good decision. "Oh, God told me to do it. I just know this is what God wants me to do. God told me to do it." And so this guy was in banking and said all the right things. And so she moved out there, only to come back a year later after she got married and find out he had a criminal record and he was extremely abusive to her. Life was devastated. She got punked. And this person is still dealing with the consequences today. And people who cared about her tried to warn her. I'll never forget the phone conversation I had with her. And I did everything in a fatherly way I could possibly do. I pleaded with her. I said, "Listen, I think..." She told me an awful lot of details. I said, this does not sound reputable. Don't take this risk. If he really cares about you, have him come out here to meet some of your friends. Have him come out here for a while and live and get involved in church life here, and let's see what he's really made of." "Oh, he didn't really want to do that. He didn't really want to do that." And the rest is history. Jesus said in John 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that you might have life, and you might have it in abundance, that you might have it in all of its fullness." When you think of America, when you think of the average American, I want you to think for a moment, what are most Americans living for? What are they consumed by? I kind of gave it away in just my statement there. They are consumed with consuming. The average American, the average young person, middle-aged person, is simply living for the acquisition of more things. And we see it every day. You drive down the highway and you see the latest and greatest cars. They come zipping by you. You see, we're bombarded every day. Advertisement after advertisement after advertisement. "You got to have this car. If only you had this car. If only you had these clothes. If only you used this product. This product, this product." We live in the city that at this time has the largest mall in the whole United States, as if we needed another one. And now, I don't know if you know this, but they're going to build a skyway onto the property across the street from it and build another million or two square foot more mall. Number one pastime in America spending money. And people spend and they spend and they spend. We have a credit crisis. We have a credit card crisis. We have a debt crisis. No one wants to face it. Why? Because we're addicted to things. We think to ourselves, if only I have more things. If I have the latest iPhone, the latest iPod, the latest entertainment system. And it just goes on and on and on and on. I mean, they just upgrade and they upgrade and they upgrade and they upgrade and they upgrade. It's like, I gotta have it. I just gotta have it. Now we got cars that do almost everything but blow your nose for you. And it costs you so much money. I always love these people. What I really get a kick out of is the people always talking about we got to recycle. We got to recycle. We got to recycle. We got to recycle. We got to save the earth. And they're always driving the newest cars. And I'm like, you know, if you really believe that, why don't you drive a 91 Toyota Tercel 4-speed with no air conditioning like me? Do you really believe in recycling? No. It's nice to say. It's almost like a fashion accessory. When it comes right down to it, give me new, give me new, give me new, give me more, give me more. This is not a new phenomenon. Jesus talked about it. It was true in Jesus' day. It has always been true. Man, human nature is greedy. We want more. We're never satisfied. We want more food. We want more pleasure. We want more money. We want more toys. That's the nature of man. And so today in a modern America, what's very interesting is that our whole economy, at least a large part of our economy, is based on the premise that you are not going to save your money, but we are going to help you spend your money. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't legitimate things that we need in our life. But if you step back and think about family members that you know or friends that you know or people that you know, you see that they are completely caught up in spend, spend, spend. Go get this and go get that. And it's not enough anymore to get, you know, for a lot of people to get factory rims on their car. Now they got to go to Tires Plus or some other shop and get, you know, these spinners on their wheels that go the opposite way when the car is driving. And they aren't cheap. Or they got to put Pirelli tires on the car that only give you about that much cushion, and then there's all this rim. Because our society is all about the accumulation of things. But let me show you something really, really interesting and really profound that Jesus said about this. Jesus was out speaking to the crowd, as he often did, and there was a person in the crowd, and someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." So this is a real life situation. Jesus is speaking in front of the crowd. And there's this person in the crowd that evidently his father has just passed away. And the person has a brother. So he thinks, well, Jesus is a wise man. Jesus is a fair man. He's fair-minded. He believes in justice. He believes in the redistribution of wealth. And so he says to Jesus, "Say, Lord, Lord, say, I was wondering, my brother, my dad just died. And my dad's unfairly left all the money." This is the background story, see? "My dad left all the money to him. Will you please tell him to share it with me?" Boy, that seems really legitimate, doesn't it? That seems so innocent, so pure, so like, yeah, it's fair. He was both our father. Jesus replied, this is very interesting, in front of all these people, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as this?" Then he said, "Beware. Be on guard. Do not be greedy for what you don't have, Real life is not measured by how much we own. Wow, I just can't, you know, Jesus, to be honest, seems awful rude sometimes. I mean, Lord, you know what, can't we get a little more understanding here in this situation? This guy's dad has just died. We know that because that's how you get an estate, an inheritance. Someone dies. And he's asking you for help. And Jesus went right to the heart of the matter, right in public. Since he asked the question in public, Jesus really didn't have much option, so he answers it in public. He says, well, friend, let me ask you, why do I look like a judge? Do I look like the individual who handles these kinds of matters? But since you ask, let me speak to this. And then I'm sure he's speaking to this man and to everyone around. Beware! Don't be greedy for what you don't have. Now, wow, my gosh, the Lord is accusing of him of being greedy because he wants his brother to share. That's judgmental. Wow, Lord, how dare you say that? You don't know the circumstances. He knew human nature. And Jesus probably realized that if this guy had the guts to stand up in public and say, hey, Lord, make him share with me, there was a greed problem. There was a greed problem. We see this all over today. We just kind of have an entitlement mentality. That what they have, I ought to have. The book of Ecclesiastes says, Solomon, God inspired, God implanted in him the greatest wisdom given to any one single person. And Solomon said, I observe this, that all man's success and pursuit of success is based on his envy of another. You know, when you think about competition, I'm not saying that all competition is bad, but so often competition is about how I can beat you. How I can beat you. I want what you have. I want your records. I want your girlfriend. I want your wife. I want your job. I want your car. I want your house. I want your money. And since you make more than me, they ought to give me some of yours. And we see that permeating our society. And this was a problem here. And then Jesus says this profound statement. Real life is not measured by how much we own. Wow, is that really true? You think about that for a moment. You think about Donald Trump and The Apprentice. Is that really the message that we get day after day after day after day after day? Who wants to be a millionaire? America's Got Talent. American Idol. What's it all about? Getting rich, getting fame, getting popular. And it's drummed into our head, and we see these people, and they look so beautiful, and they look so happy, and they look so successful, and they just have life all together, and they can buy whatever they want. So listen to what Jesus says. There was a rich man. He had a fertile farm that produced fine and plentiful crops. In fact, his barns were full to overflowing. Now remember, in those days, crops were like money. So he said to himself, I know, I'll tear down my barns, I'll build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store everything I own, and I'll sit back and say to myself, self, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, be merry, and party. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night, then who will get it all? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. You see, in our society, in American culture, what has replaced God is money. And our love for money. Jesus spoke more about money as a single topic than any other topic. And Jesus said, do not be deceived. You cannot serve God and money. You will either love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. But you can't do both. And so here we have this illustration. And Jesus is saying to this guy, He's got it made. His crops are coming in. And he sits back and thinks to himself, man, I'm going to tear down my barn, tear down my house. I'm going to build something bigger. I'm going to build something more. And then I'll have enough for the rest of my life. But he got punked. You know why? Because death punks every man and every woman. And death comes knocking on his door. And guess who's behind the door, number one? God. God is behind that door. And he says to this man, and he says to this crowd, a person is a fool. A fool to store up earthly wealth and to make that your focus and not have a rich, I like that word, he's stuck in the word rich, relationship with God. I want you to ask yourself tonight, do you have a rich relationship with God? Do you even have a relationship with God? Did you know that it's even possible? There is nothing greater in life than a relationship with God. God is the great provider. God is the great lover. God is the great forgiver. God is the great counselor, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All happiness is in God. Money can never bring happiness. God brings happiness. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we find a couple of my favorite verses. Those who love money will never have enough. How absurd to think that wealth brings true happiness. People who live only for wealth come to the end of their lives as naked and empty-handed as on the day that they were born. And yet, to be honest, just about everybody you meet in one way or another is in love with money. They want more. They want more. They want more things. They want nicer things. Contentment is so elusive. But God brings those things into our life. God brings joy into our life in spite of our circumstances. God brings real peace in our heart because we know that we have an answer for death. Because we can know that in Christ we'll never die. We'll never have to feel that great pain of emptiness. When we have, maybe in the future, a spouse and we both know Christ and they leave, yes, we will have sorrow because we miss them, but we know we will see them on the other side forever and ever and ever, and we'll have a brand new body that will never get sick and never die. We can know that all the things we've done that haunt us at night, the guilt and the shame that we have in our lives, that is forgiven, that it's gone, that it's clean. We can know that whatever troubles, whatever difficulties we face, we can go to God and God is willing to help us. God will listen to us. God will bear our burdens because He loves us. And God is interested in a rich relationship with you. He loves you. No more being kicked to the side, kicked to the curb. God loves you, and He wants to know you. But we're too busy chasing money. We're too busy with our toys. We're too busy being punked. And the next thing you know, life is over. And you lived the wrong life. And you picked the wrong priorities. And instead of choosing friendship with God, you chose friendship with money. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, not having the things we need, but the love of it, the pursuit of it. And you see that's pervasive in America. I would say that is our first religion in modern American culture. There are many others. But I would say that first and foremost is our desire for things, for more things, for nicer things. I'll never forget, I've shared this before, but again, there's so many of you here tonight that are new that probably have not heard this. It was not too long ago. It was about 2 years ago. I know it's going to be hard to believe. I'm 52. So when I was 50, I bought my first ever, new stove, refrigerator, and dishwasher. First time ever. 50 years old. I don't know how many people can say that, but that's the truth. And all the other time they were used, I bought them from the paper. And so someone had given us a gift, my wife and I, because my daughter was sick, we couldn't go on the little trip that we were going to go on. And so all of a sudden, in one day, in our little twin home, kind of like a townhouse kind of a thing, the dishwasher broke and all the appliances were 20 years old because the house was 20 years old. So I said to Kathy, I said, well, you know, honey, how about if I just, you know, I'm Jesse's sick, I'm busy, there's lots going on. How about if I just get all three of them at once and just have someone come and put them in and take them away? She said, oh, that sounds like a great idea. So I began scouring the newspaper, looking at the sales, and I found this where I could get three, all three, for I think it was $1,100. So I went to Warner Stallion, and I showed them, because the reason I went to Warner Stallion is because they would come and put them in, and they had a real good reputation. So I went to the sales lady, and I showed her the Home Depot ad, and I said, do you carry these three right here? She goes, well, yeah, we do. I said, well, I prefer to buy them from you because I've heard of your reputation and I know that you have people that can put them in. She goes, well, we can, but she said, you know, those are really starter units. I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, you know, for just somebody just starting out or for like a little apartment. She said, can I show you some of our other appliances? So I said, well, sure. Now I said sure for a reason. You'll know in a minute. I didn't say sure because I was going to buy them. So she walks me over to this stove, and the stove is $850. And she said, now this stove, she asked me my name. She kept calling me Mr. I hate it when people do that. But anyway, I said, you can call me Mark if you want. She goes, well, okay, Mark. She goes, this stove, it times this, it does that, it has a delay feature, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, well, can I ask you a question? She said, sure. I said, well, this stove, if I put a baked potato in it, put it at 350, will it cook it as well and in the same amount of time as this one over here for 325? And she looked at me. Seriously, her eyes got really big and her jaw kind of dropped. She said, well, no one's ever asked me that, but, yeah, it will. I said, okay. Well, I said, I just wanted to make sure. I said, you know, because $500, that's a big difference. And if I'm not mistaken, you told me that the elements in both the heating elements are, you know, I have to have an electric one because mine's electric at home. And, they're both going to last about 10 or 15 years. That's what you said, right? She goes, well, yeah. And I said, these other features on here are like most people's cars. They'll never use them. She said, well, I guess that's true. She said, well, let me show you this refrigerator. So she walks me over to the refrigerator. It's got this ice maker, and it's got all, it's a Sub-Zero, I guess it's called that. She showed me all this stuff, and I said, oh, that's really nice, too. That one's 1,000, right? Well, that's on sale. They usually it's 1,400. I said, oh, well, that's really, really nice of you. And I said, so again, can I just ask you a question? I said, you know, my family, we like milk and pop and, you know, tea and vegetables and, you know, stuff like that. But I said, this one over here for 350. I said, now, if I put it on number 8 and that's kind of cold, will it keep the milk as fresh as this one for 1,200? Now, I'm just wondering, because, you know, I've never done this before in a store, and that was true. And again, she looks at me and she goes, but this has an ice maker. I said, well, you know, all of my friends told me that those ice makers are usually problems because the water starts to leak, and you know, it's really not a lot of trouble to take three little ice trays out of the refrigerator and break my own ice. She goes, and I said, besides, I'd have $800 left in the bank. She looked at me, and she said, you know, she started laughing. She says, you make excellent points. She said, no one has ever said this to me before. And I said, well, you know, ma'am, I really did all this on purpose. The point is, why do I need any of that? I don't. That's the point. I don't. The average mother today is not even cooking her own meals. She's buying from Boston Market or Lian Jin or Noodles and Company. And they're spending hundreds of dollars a month on food that they buy out. Or they go through Byerly's line and they go through the deli thing and they pay exorbitant prices and bring it home to their three little kids and they think they're living. That's what modern America has become. And there are people in the world that are trying to make a dollar a day to live. And some of us are eating out $8 meals two times a day, 16 bucks a day. Take that times 30 and see what you get. And think about what you'd have and what you could do for others if you decided, wow, I could probably shop over here and eat really well. Of course you could. But we want the good life. We believe we deserve the good life. God is the giver of that life. You see, a relation, you know, I've lived things, I've done things that I realize you may find hard to believe, but I'm not telling you these things tonight. I'm not telling them to belittle you. I'm telling them to you to enlighten you. I'm not telling them to you from, you know, some my ivory palace. I have lived, I have raised four kids. The first year I was married, expecting our first child, I made $4,500 gross. I had no insurance with my first three children, none of any kind. I paid the hospital off $25, $28, $30 a month. I really mean it when I say I believe that God gives us something more than the world ever has to give us. I've lived it. I've lived it for 33 years. And that doesn't mean we don't have to have money to pay our bills. We do. God is not begrudging you that. God is trying to tell you that, just like with alcohol, just like with alcohol. When alcohol starts to dominate your life, when the wrong things start to dominate your life, you become addicted and it sucks the life out of you. And it becomes very, very destructive in your life. And that's what we see. I mean, really, we see people are addicted to debt. It doesn't get you into the kind of publicity that heroin does, that drugs and alcohol do, but people are addicted to it. I see it ruin marriages. I see it destroying relationships. I see it, the pressure that young men and women feel to have certain things. And they put it on a card, and they put it on a card, and they put it on a card, and then the bills start coming, and the bills start coming, and the bills start coming, and the pressure, and the pressure, and the pressure. Because without God, this is very important to understand. He's the giver of contentment. Paul said, I have learned the secret of contentment in any and every circumstance, whether I'm well fed or not so well fed, whether times are good or times are difficult, I can do all things through Christ, through God who gives me strength. And so I want to make sure, young person, I have a passion to help young people. I mean that. It's what I do with my life. I want you to know that God is better than all the things this world has to offer to you. God is better. You don't want to end up punked. You don't want to end up a 45-year-old suburbanite. Not that there's anything wrong being 45 and living in suburbs, but with your ladder up against the wrong wall, with your life built on the wrong things. When you had a chance here tonight, September 2008, to understand that God is what really makes a person rich. A relationship with Jesus Christ. And we'll talk in a few weeks about how that comes about and how we can have one. Next week, I'm going to do something a little different. We have a special message. And don't get punked in relationships and in sex. And I'm going to have Jeremy share this next week instead of me. And I really believe that you're going to get an awful lot out of this. I'd like to encourage you to invite young friends of yours to be here and hear what he has to say, because I believe this topic really touches on a lot of things in life. He just shared it not too long ago at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes big meeting in Burnsville, and he had a number of young people come up to him afterwards, some in tears, but so grateful. Like, I just cannot believe some of the things you said tonight really opened my eyes. And I think some of the things that you hear next week will really open your eyes so that you don't end up punked in relationships and in sex. And those two things are destroying an awful lot of lives. And yet God created them to have this wonderful, wonderful impact. And to be this wonderful expression in our lives and to be enjoyed and richly shared in. So next week, please come back, bring a friend, because I really believe that you're going to get an awful lot out of it. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. And then I'd like to encourage you, if you'd like to come out, I think the refreshments, are they outside tonight, Amy? No? Are they back there? Okay, so they're right outside. We got a lot of food for you. And incidentally, that dad's workshop, for any of you dads, I do that. Just in case you wonder, for some people that makes a difference. I've been doing this dad's workshop for about 2 years now, and I'm trying to help fathers. Fathering is another great passion of mine. So if you're a father or soon to be dad or very, very interested in being one someday, you're more than welcome to come. It's at 7 a.m. till 9 tomorrow morning at the Bloomington location down Old Shakopee Road off of Cedar, just right by the Mall of America. You go online and you can get the directions. Father, we just thank you tonight for the extraordinary, extraordinary life that you offer to each and every one of us. Lord, I just pray that you would keep us from building a wrong life, that you keep us from spinning our wheels, from being so allured and tempted by all the things that we see. Lord, just because a person, every time people drive by me in these cars, and sometimes it's easy to think, wow, I wish I had a car like that. I just remind myself that they probably got about a $400 car payment. If they had the car payment with the insurance, it's taking about $400 a month of theirs. So who's smarter, me or them? And it helps me. It really helps me. Because, Lord, there's a lot better things to do with $400 a month. There's all kinds of deals out there. I like what Dick Enrico said when he said, why buy new when slightly used will do? Well, because it's about greed, Lord. It's about having the latest, the greatest, the newest thing. We always want it. It appeals to our greed. I pray you'd help us, Lord, not to be like this man, the story that you told. That we're always envious of what others have. We want what they have. And we spend our life trying to build and accumulate things and money. And it took all of our time away from having a rich relationship with you. I pray, Lord, to not be one of us that would have caught death knocking on our door and we don't know you and we're not rich in our relationship with you. Usually by then, it's too late. I ask you, Lord, that you'd guide each person, bring each one back next week, because I really believe that this is going to hit very close to home, be very enlightening and extremely helpful. Thank you for each one here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.